This is the Crime Story Podcast with Carrie Antholis, where stories of crime and justice are told. On today's podcast, we present the entirety of a readiness hearing held for the trial of Robert Durst on March 17th, 2021. You can read the transcript of this hearing at crimestory.com.
People of the State of California versus Robert Durst. And assisted by our court reporter for the hearing impaired. On the phone, we have Mr. Gagarin, Mr. Chesnoff, Mr. Lewis, and Mr. Ray. For the people, in person, Mr. Lewin, Mr. Bailey, Mr. Miata, Mr. Henderson. The court conferred telephonically with all parties on August 7th, December 2nd, March 3rd, and March 10th, disclosing juror inquiry. The court informed counsel that pursuant to People v. Gray, the jurors have been admonished periodically regarding their obligations to avoid media accounts and not converse about the case on 8 separate occasions. During the adjournment, the parties have agreed that due to pandemic-related concerns affecting the defendant and especially his counsel, there's good cause for adjournment until May 17, 2021. Defense counsel sought further delay until June 1 and objected to commencing sooner, but balancing the factors identified in California Rules of Court, Rule 3.1332, C and D, the court will overrule that objection and hereby order the trial to commence with jurors on May 17th in Englewood, Department 1. Now, Mr. Durst, you've consented in writing to the further delay and waived any right you may have to resume on April 12th. Is this your signature I have before me?
Could you hear the judge? The waiver that you signed on Friday, is that your signature?
Is that your signature on the document, Mr. Durst? Please answer
Bob,
out loud.
Bob, you need to answer out loud.
I can't read it from here.
All right.
And, Your Honor, so the court is aware of Mr. Durst has recently been seen by the ear specialist, and they say that he's having problems with the hearing aids, so it's very difficult for him to hear.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey.
Yes, that's my signature.
And do you agree to waive any right you have to begin on April 12th and start on May 17th instead? Yes?
Do you agree to start on May 17th, Bob?
I agree to start on May 17th.
Very good. Then time is waived. The body attachment for Doug Oliver is held until May 17th. The court will order a hearing on the issue of remote testimony on April 12th in Englewood Department 1. The defendant is ordered to appear. Is there a stipulation on the testimony of Detective Strzok?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Bailing is handling that. We have two stipulations, in fact.
I have stipulations number 57 and 58 that I've just received.
Yes, so all counselor on the line, due to the short time frame we had, I believe only Mr. Gagarin actually signed it, which I believe is adequate if it's acceptable with the court, but I want to make sure all counsel agree with stipulations 57 and 58, which we filed today.
Mr. Chesnoff.
David Chesnoff speaking for Chip Lewis and myself. We agree.
Very good.
I agree.
Very good. Yes, Mr. Bailian?
Mr. Gagarin and Mr. Ray and Mr. Lewis and Mr. Chesnoff, Habib Bailian, after Dick signed 57, when I printed it out, I noticed a typo on page 10 where it said exhibits 90 through 96, it should have been 91 through 96. I corrected the typo, if that's okay with you guys.
that agree?
This is Don Ray. It's fine.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Did counsel wish to make any further record on the request for further delay?
Your Honor, this is David Chesnoff on behalf of Mr. Durst. As we informed the court and the people, we will be filing a motion consistent with our prior mistrial motions based on the length of time between the last time the jury heard evidence and the scheduled return on May 17th. And we will submit that to the court shortly. And in addition, Your Honor, since we've been on hiatus, the Ninth Circuit entered a decision on a case which had, in our opinion, impact on proceeding. And we waited to see whether or not rehearing and bond was granted. It was not. And we will be filing a motion regarding a legal issue raised by this Ninth Circuit Court as it impacts the present setting of the case. And so we would ask the court permission, if the people are good with it, we'll get it on file quickly, and maybe we can hear that on April 12th as well.
Sure, we could hear it, assuming you give adequate notice to the people. I've got no problem with you making a case as to the circumstances as they stand at the moment we resume the trial. I don't think the legal principles will change at all. But
I understand, Your Honor. This motion, the second motion I'm talking about, is really a separate issue. It's not the same thing as the basis for seeking mistrial based on the length of time. It has to do with Ninth Circuit law that is now developed, specifically dealing with a California Supreme Court case and a California homicide case, which we think the court will be interested in reading, and we're hopeful we'll get the relief we're seeking. But we'll get it on file quickly now. The Ninth Circuit, the rehearing and bond denial just happened a little while ago, so we wanted to be sure before we filed that there wasn't going to be any more action in the case. So thank you, Your Honor.
We would just like, since this is the first we've heard of it, if they could give us the case citation so we can look at it in advance of getting their motion, that would be...
I'm going to get the file quickly, John, so you'll see it. There's a lot of cases cited.
If you can, Dave, if you can just let us know what this Ninth Circuit case is, give me the name of the case so I'm not delayed in reviewing it. Just the case you're talking about.
No problem. I'll do that.
All right. So he'll let us... is there anything else? Any other record that people needed to make on any of these issues?
Yes, I was being told by someone who was paying closer attention than myself that Mr. DeGuerin didn't get a chance. I might have interrupted him to agree to the stipulations on the record, and then the court would indicate whether you accept the stipulations.
Mr. DeGuerin, do you?
I'm sorry, I didn't completely understand what Mr. Bailey said.
Oh, I don't think we were able to get it on the record that you agree with the stipulations, 57 and 58?
Yes, I've signed them.
Okay, great, fantastic. And will the court accept them?
I do accept the stipulation.
Thank you.
Your Honor, a couple of issues that that we have. The first issue is we have filed a reply, which I assume the court is in possession of this morning, a reply to the remote testimony issue. I've also given that to counsel. The second issue is I would assume then that since Mr. Durst has agreed to waive time, that any issue regarding, quote, an objection, unquote, we seem to have kind of an inconsistent position. And because I don't know what potential writ relief they're going to be potentially looking at, it's my position, our position, Your Honor, that with Mr. Durst waiving time, that issue has now been decided. There is no objection that can be offered. In essence, either they object to the delay, and Mr. Durst objects to the delay, or they don't. So they've made their
proposal.
Wait.
This is not a universal waiver.
Hold on.
We have been consistent in objecting to the length of time that the jury has been at recess and at large. and we will continue to object to that.
This
waiver does not address that at all.
Thank you.
And one additional thing, Your Honor.
Yes, Mr.
We can start on May 17th with a new jury selection.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That's what we're asking for. So we're not saying that we won't start on May 17th. We're just going to make a record as to why we think or how we think it should start.
So one man's contradiction is another man's dilemma. No, it just depends on how you look at it. You can argue it.
Your Honor, the last thing to put on the record is we discussed the court had authorized 1 to 2 hour opening statements on May 17th.
Yes.
The court had also agreed and instructed that counsel on both sides are to provide their the slides they will be using in a PowerPoint if it is utilized.
Any visuals. I must see any visuals, and I will not allow any presentation of evidence. You may simply present an opening statement reiterating what the jury has seen and what they can expect to see in the balance of the trial.
Right, and that is due, according to the court, on May 10th. Is that correct, Your Honor?
Yes, that's before. That's right. Yes. Okay. Anything else? Ms. Ames, thank you for joining the defense team so that they didn't have to travel to Los Angeles this morning. I appreciate your coming in.
Happy to help, Your Honor.
Anything else? Then defendants ordered to return on April 12th for the hearing on remote testimony. We'll be in Inglewood, Department 1. I will inform
you. Your Honor, will we be permitted to appear remotely that day as well?
Yes, you may, Mr. Chestnut.
Your Honor,
thank you, Your Honor.
Am I correct? There was a little bit of question. It's my understanding the jurors will not be present on April 12th. The first time the jurors will be coming in will be May 17th.
Yes, we will so inform them and also continue to admonish them consistent with what we've done under People versus Gray. Yes, anything else?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, take care. Be healthy, everyone. Yes, Mr. Durst.
2 months ago, I mailed you a letter. Is it?
Two months ago, he mailed me a letter. I did not receive the letter. I did not receive
the
letter.
2 weeks ago, the letter was returned to me. May I give you the letter now? The letter was returned to me stamped with return to sender insufficient address.
My apologies.
I have the letter here.
Ms. Ames, will you look at that letter and see if it's appropriate for me to receive it? Anything that I receive goes into the court file and is shared with all parties.
I understand, Your Honor. I believe his team is actually going to address this issue. I am aware of the letter. I have advised Mr. Durst against reading the letter or providing it to court for the reasons you just stated. I believe Mr. DeGaren has discussed the letter with Mr. Durst. And otherwise, I'll let the team address the issue.
Very well, and counsel, I'll invite counsel. If it has something to do with his conditions or circumstances, that may be appropriately addressed ex parte. But if you give me a letter, I am going to put it in the court file. So I think you're probably wise, Mr. Durst, to trust Ms. Ames on this. I'm sure she'll communicate every single idea that you have in that letter to me in a way that couldn't harm you in any legal sense. All right?
And obviously, Your Honor, if the letter relates to issues regarding Mr. Durst's housing or medical needs, those are properly dealt with ex parte. If they instead relate to issues involving the trial, then obviously we believe that we're going to have a right to see that. So I just want to make sure there's no review of such materials that we are not provided opportunity to observe as well.
Thank you, Mr. Lewin. I'll be mindful of that.
Mr. Durst was starting to say something, Your Honor, when I was speaking, and I could hear it over. I don't know if the court could, so I don't know if he has
no.
Heard that.
Is that all, Ms. Ames? All right, thank you, and Mr. We'll see Mr. Durst on April 12th.
The letter has to do with Stipulation 45.
Okay. Well, well, it is a legal issue apparently, and so I've not received the letter. If I do, I'll share it. All right, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Stay well.
Thank you. You too.
That concludes our presentation of the March 17, 2021 readiness hearing in the trial of Robert Durst. For more storytelling news and narrative analysis in the world of crime and justice, head on over to crimestory.com. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next Crime Story podcast.